Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. Alright, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 7.1.1, Service, Philosophy and Purpose. It's part of Quality Area 7, Leadership and Service Management, and it's the first element of Standard 7.1, Governance. The description for this element is, a statement of philosophy guides all aspects of the service's operations. Alright, so let's start as we always do with a bit of a think about what's this all about. So we're on to our last quality area here. We're going to, leadership and service management is a really interesting topic, and it has a lot of different parts we're going to break down. So it's kind of great where even this late into this series, as it's winding up, we're only sort of now touching on such a big thing as the service philosophy, something that, even if you're not a director or an educational leader, you're probably at least familiar with the fact your service has a philosophy, and you might be interested in how it was pulled together and what you would change if you needed to. So, it's really great. That's how the NQS works. We still have these sort of big elements, even this late in the day. So really, in terms of what this one's all about, it's really interesting. If you look at the guide to the National Quality Framework and you look at the element for this, it's really, really short. It's only about a page and a half. I think it might be the shortest couple of pages in the NQF, the shortest look at any of the elements, which I find fascinating. But I think what they're saying is that the service philosophy as a concept is really simple. It's what services do with it, and it's how they both develop it and then engage with it. That is the most important thing. So the actual process of developing that philosophy, there's not a huge amount of guidance there, but there's a few things we want to think about. So really the overall thing here is that, a service and the educators and other professionals who work in it should have a common purpose. They should, have an agreed reason why they're all there. And then maybe even more importantly, they should be able to articulate what that is. So be able to, not necessarily say the philosophy word for word, but understand what the philosophy is telling them about themselves and the work they do. All right, so let's have a few things to go through in practice. As I said, the guide to the element in the ASEQA's proper guide to the National Quality Framework, I should say, is pretty short. So this is probably going to be one of our shorter episodes, but I'm going to kind of use the elements of the National Quality, the elements of the guide to the NQF just sort of breaking this one down. So the guide itself breaks it down into sort of three key areas, so that kind of aligns well with the way I do it. So we're going to do that here as well. So the first thing is about the sort of philosophy sort of underpinning the decisions, the policies, and the daily practices of the service. So what this is kind of saying is, in practice, on a day-to-day basis, from an operational perspective, in terms of all those decisions that are made on a day-by-day basis, including things like rosters, orientation practices, all those kind of things, really all the kind of things we've been talking about in the first six quality areas. It's sort of saying, as a statement of philosophy, who are we as a service, as a group of professionals coming together? Who are we? How do we operate? What sort of guides our decisions? So there's this idea that the decisions, while often being made by the leaders and maybe the person who's in overall charge as a nominated supervisor, aren't sort of making these decisions, just because, in inverted brackets, that there's a purpose behind what we do and that the philosophy is there to guide our decision making. Now, it may not necessarily be likely, educators are making hundreds and hundreds of decisions all day, every day, and they may not be taking a second to think, what does our philosophy say about this? But what we hope is that the philosophy is so embedded in the way people think and do their work is that they don't necessarily have to be specifically thinking about, particular lines from the philosophy. But as a document, as a way of working together, it kind of informs those informs those practices. And again, as I talked about a lot with recruitment and with welcoming new children and families on board as well, it's so important that people know that before they make the decision to join your community of children, families, and educators. So the philosophy is there as kind of a statement of going, you know, here's who we are, here's how we operate. Hopefully this is for you, it may not be for you. And that means that you're likely to have less conflict and less challenge and drama when people are sort of saying, oh yeah, I agree with this statement. I agree with how this service works. And, you know, as long as the service upholds what's in here, then, you know, we're going to get along just fine. So that process of, you know, who are we, how do we operate, means that the day-to-day decision-making is both easier for people but more understandable as well. And we have decisions that aren't causing conflict. The second thing is about, you know, developing and articulating a shared understanding of the role of the service amongst all the people who engage with the service. So educators, children, families, and even the wider community in a different way. You know, this for me, similar to those points we raised before about, you know, making sure people understand what the service is for, but there's a real advocacy perspective here for me as well. So this is about saying we can have the ability in the philosophy, in that philosophy statement, to sort of say, here's why we think the work we do is really important. So the work of early education, not just at our service, but in services, you know, right around the country, in fact, right around the world, you know, are really providing an amazing community service to children. We're helping to obviously work with children in the five most important years of their life in terms of brain development. You know, we're integral parts of communities. We're integral parts of the lives of children and families. And the work that educators do is so critically important to our community and to our society. So there's a space here in our service philosophy to kind of articulate that in different ways. And what that means and what that looks like and how different services will articulate that means that everyone's philosophy will say this differently. But as you know, anyone who listens to this show, and particularly the main podcast, the Early Education Show, regularly, will know that advocacy is a huge part of my thinking about my work as a professional. So there's a big opportunity for the service philosophy to do that, and particularly because if you think, you know, for people joining your community of children, families, and educators, this might be the first time they're hearing these kind of concepts, the importance of early childhood education, early childhood development, those early years. You've got a real ability as people are coming on board and you're explaining your philosophy and your purpose to really raise the bar for early education everywhere and not just at your service. So, you know, making sure we're sort of engaging in that advocacy piece, both for ourselves and for the wider sector, is a huge part of the service philosophy. And then there's also, in practice, thinking about the practice of planning and analysing and engaging in children in learning. So really we're talking about, you know, quality area one. So guiding educators, planning and practice, their engagement with pedagogy, and their delivering and reviewing and assessing and implementation of the educational program. So we're really thinking about, I guess, here how the philosophy underpins our approach to quality area one. And that's really thinking about the overall approach to working, you know, with children. We're not talking about having, you know, these specific, you know, planning cycle and every dot point about how you program in your philosophy. But it's telling, what it should be telling people who are coming into your community is your approach to working with children, how you view children, that image of child peace, how you think about your own work as educators. There's a spot there for critical reflection as well in terms of how educators work together to support the learning and development and well-being of children. So the philosophy is a really important part for new educators coming on board, because you want people to understand, here's the way we do things, not necessarily the specific details, but here is the foundation of why we do what we do. We think this is really important. Here are the things we want to focus on. It's not just about documentation for documentation's sake. It's not just about planning for planning's sake. Here are the reasons where we're doing this. And that means that when, you know, educators are then doing that day-to-day work of implementing learning programs for children, there's a foundation for what they're doing. They have, as well as the Earliest Learning Framework and the National Quality Framework itself, there's a service approach. The philosophy tells them, oh, this is why this is important. This is giving me guidance in terms of how I can spend my time when I'm, you know, reviewing children's learning, when I'm thinking about planning for particular things. We recently recorded an episode of the main show around celebrations in early education, a really controversial and difficult topic for people. And one of the things we mentioned there is that, you know, nailing this stuff in your service philosophy as part of your approach to pedagogy and planning is really important. That's a way you can, you know, short circuit some of these these challenges and have less controversial topics because everyone agrees going in. They know here's why we do things. So that's, you know, one example. We can think about that for a lot of things. So how that guides educators thinking about how they plan, really important part of the service philosophy. Right, so let's have a think about some suggestions for nominated supervisors here. So as I sort of said at the start, I think this is a really individual process, and you know, I wouldn't want to be giving any service or professional advice about what to put in a philosophy. I think you have to develop that with your teams and your community. So my suggestions here are kind of are more high level. So the first one would be, summarized as take your time. I think, you know, there's no sort of minimum or maximum in terms of the national quality framework about how long you have to take to develop a philosophy. You have to have one in place, soon after opening, and obviously have your quality improvement plan in place as well. But you want to devote, I think, you know, some weeks, you know, possibly even months to this, which is, you know, so we're not talking about a single staff meeting here. We're not talking about a single team meeting where someone sort of goes away and says, you know, we had our consultation session and then someone goes away and writes it. You want to have a process where, you know, you've really thought deeply about it. You've engaged in process of critical reflection. You've given multiple people multiple opportunities to contribute. And I'm going to be talking more about that in the second point. But really making sure you can, you know, devote your time to this. Don't feel pressured to get things done in a particular way. Don't feel pressured for your philosophy to look a particular way. How is it going to best reflect you, you know, your team, your community, the children you work with, and the families you work with? And the only way for that to be meaningful is for it to take some time. So make sure you have a plan. You shouldn't be, you know, taking, you know, a year, but you make sure you have a bit of a plan for how you want to do it, but really don't put that pressure on yourself for time. And then the second thing I'd be thinking about here is just making sure we come at it with multiple ways of contributing. So not just having, as I said, you know, one consultation session or one email go out to family saying, can you let us know what you want? Can you do things like, you know, multiple information nights? Can you talk with families as they're coming in and out of the day? Can we send emails? Yes. Can we maybe do phone calls to particular families that we'd really like to contribute? Can we send drafts around to families? Can we, you know, do short online surveys? There are multiple ways to engage in this process, but if we want that to be meaningful, really having multiple ways to contribute is really important. And then with the quality improvement plan, I've only got one point here. I'll often have two for these elements, but this one, again, because it's a process in and of itself, it's kind of, you know, the service philosophy is almost a quality improvement plan in its own right. So this one's really simple, is the service philosophy is reviewed every 12 months with input from children, families, and educators. And that really leaves things open for you and your service to do things, you know, the way that most makes sense to you. All right, we're done now with element 7.1.1. So yes, we're kicking off with quality area 7. This is the last quality area of exploring the NQS, and we're about a year ago this started. So I'm glad that it's continued this long. I'm thankful for everyone who's listened and enjoyed. Please share out if you think it'll be useful to people. But we've got another 5 weeks of quality area 7, and then the end of exploring the NQS, as well as obviously a wrap up episode for quality area 7, and I think probably a wrap up episode for the entire NQS. I'm just thinking about how I could do that. But thanks for joining me. We'll be back with element 7.1.2 next week, and until then, it's goodbye from me.